Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are fresh off of a very exciting Major League Baseball World Series between the LA Dodgers, the champions. They go back-to-back. They defeated the Toronto Blue Jays in seven. And joining us now to talk about the series and just to talk about the ratings, everything involved with regards to the World Series, is Maury Brown from Forbes Magazine. He's joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Friend of the show. I'll call him friend of the show because he's been on a couple of times already. How you been doing, Mr. Brown?
I'm doing great, man. We had a great World Series.
It was phenomenal, and the ratings say as much. You know, when you look at this year's Major League Baseball World Series, it was the highest-rated World Series finale since 2017. From a ratings perspective, what have you seen just across the board? Because it seems like it was very much a hit.
Oh, it was everything that you would expect and more. I mean, you know, I don't think people realize what those numbers mean when you think about how many people appealed away from traditional television. And so, I mean, the numbers, Fox, of course, is ecstatic because, you know, they got a total of seven games. And when you get to game seven, right, I mean, 27.3 million people watched it across Fox, Fox Deportes, and streaming, and over almost 27 million just on Fox. But, I mean, if you go even further than that, the numbers in Canada, I don't think this is the number that was mind-boggling. Okay, so 10.9 million people watched it in Canada, Game 7, okay? Mm-hmm. It averaged 7.5 million, okay? To put that into perspective, the average for last year's World Series on Sportsnet in Canada was 679,000
in change.
Wow. That was the average. That means that this World Series had a 1,017% increase wow. from last year. So that kind of tells you where things were at. I mean, I don't know how we can't look at this and go, it may have been the greatest World Series in history. And I would say the Game 7 goes down as the greatest, if not the greatest, right up there with 2001. That Yankees Diamondbacks Game 7 that we saw. You know, so yeah, I mean, it had it all.
It was amazing. I loved every single second of the series, and I think the way that the series evolved is what really led to the buildup to the Game 7. And the reason why I say it in that way is because I think that as the teams were matriculating through the postseason, I think when it got to the World Series initially, I think people just kind of wrote it off as, you know what, the Dodgers are going to do this. They'll make quick work of the Toronto Blue Jays. But when Toronto won Game 1, I think everybody out there, especially the people that wanted to root for the underdog, they felt like it could be competitive. And when I look at the series overall, and I don't know if you agree with this, Maury, but I felt like when you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, for the most part in this series, they outplayed the LA Dodgers, but the Dodgers, in my opinion, were just the more clutch team in the games that were closer, in the plays and at bats that mattered. The Dodgers got it done.
Yeah, and that's the best way I think to look at it. It really was that way, and I think that the age of the Dodgers lent itself to this. You know, after that 18-inning marathon, I think that, you know, you were expecting the Dodgers to come out of it, you know, energized, right? I mean, they had battled through it. You know, it would be debilitating for the Blue Jays to not have them walk away from it all. And it wound up kind of being the other way around.
Yep.
And so, I looked at it that way. I thought that the Blue Jays, all season long, they were highly consistent. I mean, teams are streaky, right? But the Dodgers had a bunch of holes in their lineup, certainly in pitching, right? So I honestly thought that. But what you saw, I think, obviously, the guy that won the World Series MVP was a huge difference maker. So Yamamoto goes two complete games in a row. That had not been done since 2001 with Curt Schilling. And if you think about him then coming in the next day,
yep,
and doing six innings, I mean, that is just absolutely extraordinary. In a series that seemed to have everything, certainly that game seven, and on the game seven side, I thought it was a lot of defense, right? Whether it was the double clutch throw and to home to basically have a really close play at home that may or may not have been out, right? We were wondering whether Will Smith's foot had come off the plate.
Yep.
You know, we had a collision in the outfield in the ninth, right? That with this amazing catch, all of this defense, we had a 3-6-3 double play by Toronto that stabbed off, I thought, a rally for the Dodgers. And he just seemed to have everything. So, look, I sit there and in a game of inches, I thought inches were the difference maker here. A little thing here or there, right?
Yep.
One catch, one bobble, and this absolutely goes the way of the Blue Jays. I mean, if I go back and look at this, I mean, it starts in game one, Addison Barger's grand slam. I mean, there just were all of these moments that I think got completely lost because of the intensity of the 18-inning marathon and certainly extra innings game seven to basically cap off the World Series win.
Yeah, Maury Brown from Forbes Magazine joining us here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO, talking about reviewing and recapping the Major League Baseball World Series won by the L.A. Dodgers. Let me ask you this, Maury. Like, when you look at the Dodgers in itself as an organization, they are loved, right, for the historical significance of that franchise, but I feel like in this moment very much hated too because of the payroll and because of the star power that they have. I don't necessarily view it in the same way. And the reason why I say it is because when I look at the Dodgers, of course they spent a lot of money on Ohtani. And yes, Yamamoto, they spent money on him too. But I think that when you look back at some of the key contributors on their team, they were people that other organizations just were not willing to pay. Mookie Betts was in Boston. They parted ways with Mookie Betts. You look at Freddie Freeman. He was in Atlanta. They were not willing to pay him. The Dodgers stepped up when other organizations were not going to step up, and they got those guys, and now they go back-to-back.
Well, I mean, the Betts trade is going to go down in history as maybe the worst ever. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously that. I am sure that everybody's going to sit there and look at this and, of course, go, you know, without Yamamoto, without Ohtani, right? I mean, I didn't even talk about the fact that the guy got on base nine times. I mean, that's that in one game, right? I mean, that was just extraordinary. There's so many elements to this thing. Look, I think the idea of the deferred compensation for Ohtani's contract that allowed Yamamoto to come over, and the fact that they have incredible resources, of course, of putting them in the same conversation that we had with the Yankees. The baseball has the best parity out of all the major sports. And so I cannot sit there in a World Series that came down to the wire in such a way to say that it was just absolutely they're dominant. Now, look, there's all the other appearances, right? There's obviously the 2020 short season World Series win and being able to get there. And so there is obviously that, and that's going to be a narrative that is going to continue to go on out there. But I think people forget that the Blue Jays have the number five payroll in baseball. This wasn't like the Dodgers were running ramshot over the Reds. I mean, it was a fairly closely matched thing. And again, I'll go back to the Blue Jays. If I was to go ahead and pick this again, I would have gone with the Blue Jays because I think consistently 1 through 9, they were just as solid as a rock.
Yep.
And if you look back at the ALCS, the Mariners had basically a warm body in the 7 and 8 position, even Crawford, you know, in ahead of those guys. If it wasn't for his defense, he would have been a warm body in terms of the lineup. So I just looked at the Blue Jays as being highly consistent. It was sad that somebody had to lose because I think that the Blue Jays deserved to win it as much as the Dodgers did.
You know, the legend of Shohei Ohtani grows and grows every single year and every single game that he plays. Of all the baseball players that you have watched in your lifetime, where does he rank?
Well, he's going to rank number one right now. I mean, if I go back and I look at, like, who was the most terrifying guy at the plate, well, that's clearly Barry Bonds, and we kind of know why that was. But, I mean, other than Barry Bonds, you're really looking at nobody that's been intentionally walked like he was in that World Series. And the fact that he was able to go out there and pitch, I mean, remember, after all these surgeries, he's still, you know, he is significant in what he can do on the mound as a two-way player. I mean, right now, I mean, he's a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I don't know how that doesn't happen. And we're going to have the conversation about the fact that because he's a two-way player, he can do that. Now, I know there are a lot of people upset about the extra time he got as a two-way player in Game 5 or in Game 7, but I think people need to remember that if you could look at the number of pitches that he took, it was less than he normally did, and he was not sharp, right? He was not sharp as a starter like he had been in other games. So I don't know if that really helped. But look, all of that aside, I mean, of course, if you ask the 30 general managers in Major League Baseball, dead or alive, they would go, if you could have Shohei Ohtani on your roster, every single one of them, I think in the history of the game, would go, yeah, give me a guy like that. Just absolutely incredible.
Talking to Maury Brown, Forbes Magazine here on the Lake Show News Talk, 830 WCCO. A couple of final questions for Maury. When you look at, well, I thought one of the cool things about this series is the amount of future Hall of Famers in this series. When you look back at both rosters, how many Hall of Famers do you think that we have coming out of this series this year? Not in terms of they still have work to do, but I'm talking about, like, as it stands and sits right now, they are bona fide Hall of Famers. And you started with Ohtani. Who else?
Clayton Kershaw, obviously, who's obviously retiring. Max Scherzer.
Yep.
So there's another. I think that right now you're going to have – well, I'm going to have to wait and see on this.
Well, Mookie.
I mean, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you know, he's had those couple of down years, right? I mean, so his platform's not exactly consistent yet.
Yeah, Mookie Betts.
You have that. Mookie Betts, obviously,
yep,
is going to be there. So, I mean, you look at it, there's a lot of guys on the Dodgers, right? I mean, but Scherzer certainly is absolutely going to go in. I was surprised he said he wanted to keep pitching. I really did. I thought that this was going to be it for him.
Yeah, I'm
with
you.
The thing that I'm going to remember about this is guys that are going to probably be in the Hall of the Very, Very Good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know where Kike Hernandez stands, but his platform in the postseason, right, which we don't see this in baseball. I think another thing we're not talking about on these ratings, you know, one of the problems baseball has had for the longest time is the inability to have a lot of their platform stars be there. So last year you had Ohtani and Judge. This year you have Ohtani, right? And so all those years that Ohtani was with the Angels and you had Mike Trout, and they just could never get him into the postseason. I mean, baseball is largely brands. So I look at this as now this is kind of baseball shining moment the last couple of years. You've had some stars in there, and I think that it's proven itself out that non-fans turned in – certainly for Game 6, which, by the way, I'm one of the few guys out there that I think have these numbers. I mean, they drew almost at 18 million for Game 6.
Oof.
Across Fox, Fox Deportes, and streaming. So, I mean, it was incredible. Again, the numbers are pretty great. I mean, you have to go back basically. I think you have to go back to 2017. They're never going to top that 2016 World Series with the Cubs. Due to that, I mean, there's just no more mountains to climb like that, right, where we had that futility factor with the Cubs. But still, I mean, and you're not going to get much better than you did this year.
You know, I'll say this in closing, a couple of final points. I thought it was kind of cool, and this is from a cultural perspective with music, and I know that you're a big-time music guy, but from a hip-hop, you know, culture thing, you had the Drake versus Kendrick Lamar stuff that's been going on for the last year and a half. And so you also had the ties in with the Dodgers and Kendrick being from L.A. and being from Compton. And then you got Drake, who actually was at game one of the series when the, supporting his Toronto Blue Jays. That was also kind of an interesting angle. And even it was played up after the game seven game was over with the graphic that Fox utilized on social media, and then Nike playing the squabble up music from Kendrick in an ad, you know, kind of celebrating that the LA Dodgers won. But I do want to say this in closing. I never in my life had heard something as preposterous as what my producer said last week, where I actually wanted to punch him in a commercial break. He said to me, Maury, he had the nerve, the gall to say this, and he meant it. He said that Clayton Kershaw was not a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I almost lost it.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. I mean, you're going to sit there and point to. You're going to have to point to is they're going to you're going to go, oh, the postseason numbers, you know. And then this is and this. I think the conversation about this is we don't judge baseball the same way that we judge other sports. Now, if you want to go ahead and you go Hall of Famers in any other sport, what do you look at? Rings, right? Trophies, championships. But baseball is different because unlike those other sports, individuals cannot take over a game. I can't put Clayton Kershaw in and have him control game outcome for nine straight innings, right? I mean, you just, you know, or be at the plate constantly. I give put the ball in the hand of LeBron James or Michael Jordan, or I give it to Tom Brady. They can control game outcome. So we look at baseball entirely different than we do because we go, hey, man, you put together a platform through your regular career, that is the barometer, not necessarily what you've done in the postseason. And so based upon that, yeah, I think Clayton Kershaw goes in. I got to see what else is going on with the ballot at that time.
Oh, 11-time All-Star. Yeah, 11-time All-Star, NL MVP, three Cy Youngs. I mean, he's got three championships. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think that, I say this because they're my people. They're the baseball writers. You never know. I don't know how Derek Jeter wasn't unanimous. I don't know how Ichiro wasn't. You never know how the writers are. If we're talking about the postseason on this segment right now and his numbers ran that, there will be other writers talking about that. But,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, 75%, he should be able to pull that off. Depending upon whether there's like a log jam or something to jam him up to prevent it, I could see it happening. First ballot.
He does a phenomenal job. Check him out. Forbes Magazine, Maury Brown joining us here on The Lake Show. Hey, Maury, man, a pleasure to have you on the show again. I appreciate it, and we'll be in touch.
All right, man, you take care. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, take care. That's Maury Brown joining us here on The Lake Show, and I had to have some fun at the expense of one Christopher Tubbs. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to Bite of the Night. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Bite of the Night involves somebody that hasn't been, I don't think, on Bite of the Night for maybe a year, and that would be Marjorie Taylor Greene. Sounds like she's fallen out of favor with President Donald Trump. They're not like tight anymore. She used to be all in.
You mean she's not going up to the cardboard cutouts and cup of tickle a little bit?
Something's going on there. Well, she was on The View, and well,
that's weird.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I mean, well, think about it. I mean, what conservative, you know, face out there would go on The View? Like, that's
Marjorie Taylor Greene,
man. Okay.
Because she actually could be somewhat of a voice of reason for the Republican Party here as of late. Take a listen to what she had to say on The View.
Practically, I yelled at Mike Johnson last week on our GOP conference call. By the way, I'm missing the call today. It's going on right now. And I hope that Mike Johnson is finally giving a single health care policy because the country deserves it, and it shouldn't be a secret. And I shouldn't have to go into a SCIF to go find our Republican health insurance plan.
Maybe honestly, there is no plan.
You know what? You want to know something? That, I believe, is the truth. There's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of bills. But there's no consensus.
Yeah.
And I think that's a failure. I do.
So this is the thing.
Concept of a plan.
This is the thing. I don't care how you identify yourself. As an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, okay? But regardless of all that, we should all, in unison, universally say it is unacceptable that Donald Trump has not presented the American people a healthcare plan. That is a failure, and Marjorie Taylor, I can't believe I'm sitting here on this radio show saying that I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Because I have said this before, other people are saying, it is unacceptable. This man talks about the ACA and all this stuff, and people talk about, well, you know, it's terrible for the American people, has not presented a health care plan at all. This is his second presidency, and he has not presented the American people a healthcare plan. You might be the biggest Trump supporter in the world. That is unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
Some of y'all.
It's not 2016.
No.
It's 2025.
Yeah, some of y'all think it's still coming in 2 weeks.
Like his taxes.
Yeah. Again, it's. It's like the wimpy version of politics. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a healthcare plan today. Right?
Concepts of a plan. He literally said concepts of a plan.
And people are like, that's a great answer.
On the debate stage with Kamala Harris.
Yeah, and people are like, man, that's a great answer, concepts of a plan. You look at that and you're like, okay, these healthcare premiums, the ACA, you know, personally, I prefer Obamacare over the ACA, but we won't split hairs. Hashtag they're the same thing.
Some of y'all think that man's smart.
Yeah, if you think that it's so bad, what is the alternative? Give us the alternative. If there isn't an alternative, then shut the hell up.
It is unacceptable.
It's the same thing.
It's unacceptable.
People need health care. We're
going to do away with Obamacare, but you're not presenting a health care plan to the people of this great country? Get out of here, man.
Even if Obamacare is not perfect, and we know it's not. We know it's not. I don't need it. But for those that do, it's not perfect. No health care plan is absolutely 100% rock solid. Give an alternative to people then.
Yep.
Give them something that's
better. And it's your job. It's your job to give the people alternatives, to give them options.
Well, I mean, they have the option of not having health insurance.
No, what? Yeah.
Or you can pay tons more.
It's not 2016. It's 2025. And there is, I mean, it's always something. Won't show the taxes for a reason. Doesn't have a health care plan. Won't release the Epstein files. It's always something, man. It's always something.
Don't question dear leader. Dear leader knows all. He knows what's good for you, Henry. Drink the Kool-Aid. It tastes good.
Coming up next, I have been a fan of Tom Brady. I am a fan of Tom Brady. Still. But I don't like something that he's done. We get to that next year on The Late Show. All right, before we get into my Tom Brady take, some breaking news. Abigail Spanberger, the Democrat running for the governorship in Virginia, has won. Virginia elects its first female governor. She has won. So we will see how the night shakes out across the board. But I think that nationally, Democrats will look at that win and they believe that that is just a peek into what's going to happen across the country. All right, so we'll get to some other races here a little bit later, or as more information kind of evolves throughout the next 90 minutes of the show. I want to talk about Tom Brady, though. Tom Brady, I'm a fan of Tom Brady. But Tom Brady, I'm not jiving with this. So Tom Brady is wrong, in my opinion, for cloning his late dog, Lua. And you heard me correctly. He has a dog named Junie right now that is a clone of his beloved pet, Lua, who died in 2023. Brady is an investor in a company called Colossal Biosciences, okay? And this company, well, they cloned the pit bull mix using a blood sample collected prior to his dog, Lua's death. And he's bringing this out. There's also an announcement that it is acquiring another company that cloned Barbara Streisand and Paris Hilton's dogs. Let me tell you why I'm not into the cloning thing. I'm sorry, man. It's just yucky to me. Why are we doing this, man? Like, I know that we love our animals. We love our pets. They're part of our families. I get all of that. But really? This is what we're doing now? This is what we're doing? Am I being nitpicky with this, Chris? Like, I know you don't have dogs, but you are an avid cat lover.
Yeah, I'm a cat guy.
Would you ever do this?
No.
This is creepy to me. This is so sci-fi to me. Like, this is not anything that we would have thought about 30, 40 years ago, whatever, or maybe even like 20 years ago, but this doesn't sit right with me.
No, I mean, number one, you're doing your original animal a disservice because that animal was genuine and a part of your family.
100%.
When you clone that animal, you're not getting the same thing. You're not getting the same pet that you had before. And plus, to me, Henry, and this sounds really cheesy, but I mean it because I'm an avid pet owner. I've had cats for my entire life, and pets just give you it gives your home a whole nother dimension of life that I feel people are missing. But you are taking away the opportunity to bring another pet into your life. You are taking away from being able to provide a home for another animal that may desperately need it just to have something that reminds you of something that you had. And it's not going to be the same.
It's not the same.
I love, I had a cat named Jericho. I had her for 19 years. I absolutely loved this cat. She was my best friend. She helped me through so many things, through my broken neck, my divorce, everything. She helped me. She was there. When she passed away in 2021, when she was 19, that was a relationship that we had that you can't replicate. But now we've got new pets. And we've got a connection and a bond with those animals that is more genuine than I feel in trying to replicate something that I just feel is a disservice. Plus, it's creepy as hell.
This is what Tom Brady had to say. He says, quote, "I love my animals. They mean the world to me and my family," the former NFL star said. "A few years ago, I worked with Colossal and leveraged their non-invasive cloning technology through a simple blood draw of our family's elderly dog before she passed. The company gave my family a second chance with a clone of our beloved dog." Brady continued, adding that he is excited about the technology and how it can help both families losing their beloved pets while helping to save endangered species. No, that's just not. It's just
none of that is
he's
correct.
He's trying to make it seem as though like
endangered species?
Like
you're cloning a damn dog. What about it? You're creating something. How can something be endangered when you're creating it? I mean, am I missing something here?
I love you, Tom. You're the GOAT, man, but I'm not rocking with you.
Dude, this is
one.
Like that commercial that's like, Tom Brady knows football. Tom Brady sure as heck don't know nothing about no cloning, no pets, endangered species, pets, animals, something. Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
I mean, is that the kind of education they gave you in Michigan?
Come on, Tom.
I mean, damn. Read me the endangered species thing one more time. Maybe I misunderstood it.
I'm dead. Let me pull it up here again.
Okay, because that sounds.
Excited how Colossal can help both families losing their beloved pets while helping to save endangered species.
How are you helping endangered species when you're creating a clone?
Tom, I'm not rocking with you,
what
Tom.
What the hell does that mean?
You the GOAT, bro, but you tripping on this.
What does that mean?
You're tripping. And like, passing on is just a part
it's
of
a
our...
It's a part of life.
I mean, seriously. Now, clearly, when... Who was it? It was Ted Williams.
Remember, when he wanted the head?
Well, when they had the whole... what was it? Do you remember the name of the company? Remember when they were talking about if there's ever a day in which you can bring people back to life and they'll have the body and they'll have it preserved and all this other stuff, and then the head fell off? And
yeah.
Like, when that entire thing was going on...
That's some weird stuff.
I felt so bad for their family. I'm dead.
I was like,
why are you doing this?
Yeah, it makes no sense. And you have that connection. You have that bond. And as much as I would love that bond,
yeah,
that
Alcor Life Extension Foundation in Arizona, the cryogenic stuff.
Cryogenics, yeah. Yes. There are so many opportunities out there for other animals that would love to have that bond with you. If you are a true pet lover, then you can look at options to adopt. Adopt, don't shop. That's my message. You adopt, and these animals, you can have a special relationship. I mean, it's like Suzanne, which this is also creepy. Suzanne Somers' husband is like building an AI version of her with like, that's got like a full vocabulary and you know, like using, it's like, what?
We're
like,
taking all this stuff way too far.
Way too far.
Yeah.
Way too far. Like, it's just, man. That, I mean, that's one of those things that I feel like Tom Brady is doing that because he can. But it's just super, super sci-fi and
doesn't
weird.
Mean you should.
I wouldn't do it. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, it's time for headlines. We get to that next year on The Late Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get into headlines here. CT on the ones and twos.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the top of the hour break, CBS News, hopefully we'll have more information about what's going on politically, as well as the breaking news of the night about the UPS crash, unfortunately, in Louisville, Kentucky this evening.
Yeah. And by the way, thanks for letting me kind of talk about not cloning my cat, because I think talking about your relationship with your pets, it's important because a lot of us can relate to, you know, to having pets, and you know, they cross the Rainbow Bridge. Hey, according to federal charges, there's a man who won't be crossing any bridges because he stole nearly $700,000 from him and his employer and spent the money in online gambling. 30-year-old Austin Henry Strom was indicted in U.S. District Court in Fargo last week on allegations of bank fraud in connection with the methodical theft of money from FM Forklift in March 2024 until April of this year. Now, he's a Dilworth resident. He's due in court on December 16th. Yesterday, his attorney declined to respond to the allegations. According to the indictment, Strom worked for Fargo-based FM Forklift for 8 years, the last 3 to 4 as a bookkeeper. He wrote checks from the company's Bell Bank account to himself without authorization in amounts ranging from $1,250 to $29,611. He wrote out the check by hand and forged the signature of one of the owners. In April, bank officials detected the suspicious activity and alerted FM Forklift. When the company's three owners confronted him, he confessed to depositing nearly $700,000 into his personal account. In the indictment, he says, the quote, he spends the funds on online gambling.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, there goes our sports betting here. Man. Thank you.
Why? Don't ruin it for us, man.
God dang. Stupid Dilworth. I love Dilworth, by the way. I'm not casting aspersions on Dilworth.
Are you big in Dilworth?
I'm huge in Dilworth. I love Dilworth. DGF, Dilworth, Glendon, Felton? Oh, yeah, up there in the 218? Yeah. Edge of the Red River Valley, baby. I know all about it. Hey, a woman on her way to work got into a traffic accident that turned into an ordeal where masked federal agents holding weapons dragged her out of her car and detained her without telling her why.
I saw a video of this.
Yeah, this according to the woman's family. The video of masked men detaining Diane Figueroa, a U.S. citizen and paralegal after a traffic accident in Chicago, is the latest to make the rounds in a city where federal agents have faced scrutiny over aggressive tactics. Local Democratic leaders view the Republican president's efforts to deploy the military as a power grab. Many Chicagoans and residents of the surrounding areas view federal agents already deployed to the city as an occupying force. Now, the woman's account of her detainment comes just days after Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem told reporters at a news conference in Gary, Indiana, that no U.S. citizens had been detained in connection with the Blitz crackdown.
Liar.
The Figueroa family is raising funds for legal and medical... don't call Kristi Noem a liar. Let's hear her out. Let's see what Kristi Noem's got to say. Now, the woman said the encounter came after recent kidney surgery, that afterwards she went to the hospital because, quote, because of the excessive force using her detention. Court filing videos and news reports show Figueroa isn't the only U.S. citizen to wind up being detained by immigration agents carrying out the White House blitz.
I still can't believe, a couple of months ago, that video they did this past summer where they're talking about the border wall and they were talking about how it was painted black, like that was going to help stop people from climbing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in the dark.
I mean, yeah. Thank you.
I mean, yeah.
It's always sunshine.
Yeah. Always sunshine. But you hear the one, I know who it was, but there was a clip where somebody's talking about the rainy day fund and using it for SNAP. And I saw a clip on The Daily Show last night, and that'll get to the next story here. But it's like, you know, we use the SNAP. We use this as a backup for the rainy day fund. But then he's like, well, with all of the hurricanes in Jamaica, what happens if there's really a rainy day? Like, a rainy day fund does not have to be used when it's literally raining. Like, you can use a rainy day fund when it's sunshining just because it's raining. That doesn't, rainy day fund and rain have no connection. It's just a name. Hey, and speaking of The Daily Show, we'll end on this one. Paramount has renewed Jon Stewart's deal to continue hosting Comedy Central's The Daily Show once a week through the 2026 midterms, resolving months of speculation about the media company's plans for the late-night show.
Mm.
Comedy Central said Monday that the show's correspondents will continue to take turns hosting Tuesdays through Thursdays while Stewart hosts on Mondays. Now, he originally returned to his old show in 2024 after first hosting from 99 to 2015, say he wanted a platform to unload thoughts as we get into the election season. Now that the deal is done, according to Monday's press release from Paramount, Stewart will continue hosting and executive producing. Ari Pierce, head of Comedy Central, said in a statement that Stewart's return is, quote, an ongoing commitment to the incisive comedy and sharp commentary that define The Daily Show. He added, we're proud to support John and the extraordinary news team.
Yeah, I hope he comes back. Like, I hope that he's back.
Oh, he's coming back through 2026.
Yeah. Thank you for that. He's entertaining. He's very thoughtful. I love the way he constructs his debates and art. I love everything about him.
Yeah, he is super, super talented. And what I love is that he only does the one show, and everybody else does the rest of the week. Hey, and let's get into this since we have about a minute. Ciara, Foreigner, Lil Jon, Kool & the Game, Busta Rhymes, Miggy Guyton, and Teyana Taylor are going to feature in this year's Macy Thanksgiving Day Parade, which will also cement K-pop Demon Hunters as a pop culture phenomenon with the appearances by the movie singers on the ground and cute characters in balloons overhead. I have to admit, I know absolutely nothing about K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah, I'm not hip either. This is kind of out of my... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I have a 15-year-old daughter, and I have no idea what the K-pop Demon Hunters are. But apparently, they're gonna be a thing. Six new floats are also going to debut this year, including Holland American Line, Lego, Lindt Chocolates, Stranger Things, and a bunch of whimsical sheep trying to get sleep... courtesy of Serta.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with the K-pop Demon Hunters.
I know they're a thing. That's about all I know. What thing? I have no idea.
Coming up next, I'm going to do something I've never done before. Defend PJ Fleck. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.